Ezekiel chapter 3, 1 Chronicles chapter 12. I have a message that the Lord put on my heart a few days back for you this morning. Before we jump off into the main message, which we'll be taking out of 1 Chronicles chapter 12 this morning, we're going to go over here to Ezekiel chapter 3, because at 6:45 this morning, the Spirit of the Lord came to me, and He said, "Tell them what I told you in Albuquerque, New Mexico." Now, God knew everybody who's going to be in this room this morning, and everybody who wasn't going to be in this room this morning. Amen? You're here on purpose. Amen? You're here by divine appointment. The Holy Spirit of God. Now, if He didn't move on me, I wouldn't tell you that He did. Amen? I got enough outlines to preach from here to eternity without having to say, "Thus saith the Lord," when the Lord hasn't spoken. Amen? I was ready to come here to talk to you this morning about the power of obedience, and I'm going to do that. But first, I'm going to obey what He said to me at 6:45 this morning. "Tell them what I told you in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Tell them that they're going to be seeing you, me, do some things. They're going to hear you say some things that they are not going to understand. Because they've not been called to do what I've called you to do. They've not been called to say what I've told you to say. They've not been trained, and they've not been purged." You hear that? He told me to tell you what He told me in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He told me to tell you. I don't know what these things are. It's breaking news to me. Amen? I'm going to be saying some things you aren't going to understand. I'm going to be doing some things you aren't going to understand. But He'll understand. And I'll understand because I've been trained for the office I stand in. I am not just a pastor. And there's nothing wrong with being just a pastor. I don't mean to minimize that office. It's an holy office. And it's one that I not only stand in, but it's one that I submit to. Everybody needs a pastor, including the pastor. But I don't stand in just the office of the pastor. The offices that I'm called to do things that pastors don't normally do, unless they're called to other offices in addition to their pastoral office. If you will take the Albuquerque fire pit, my personal testimony, that's on the website. We have it here in print. If you'll take that and look at that again, it'll help you to better understand what I'm going to read, what the Lord said to me in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I want to ask you, if you would please, if you believe I'm your pastor, if you believe that God has brought us together in a holy union, I want to ask you to read the Albuquerque fire pit again. And there's a link there, if you read it online, that will take you over to the office of the apostle. I'm speaking to you by the Spirit of grace this morning. There are individuals on Cape Cod who call themselves Apostle so-and-so, Apostle Bob whoever, Apostle Nicodemus whoever, and they do not have the confirming signs of an apostle. They've chosen the title because it sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? Apostle. Hi. They're doing it in pride. They're doing it in the flesh. And if you back them into a corner and you ask them, "Please, from the New Testament, describe to me the traits, the characteristics that are inherent in the office of the apostle," They couldn't do it. They just choose a title. Amen? I want to ask you to please look at my testimony. You're a part of something great on Cape Cod. Do you know that? I'm not here today just trying to build you up. Amen? I didn't plan any of this. At 6:45, he told me to tell you this, and I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. Because quite frankly, there's things I don't want to get into down there today. But I have to obey him. There's a link on the website, if you read our testimony, that will take you over where I did a teaching on the office of the apostle on our website. If you can't get on the internet, and you would like to have that teaching on the office of the apostle, we'll get it for you. Let me know after the service. We'll do our best to go online and print it out for you. I want to ask you to look at the office of the apostle, the teaching of the office of the apostle, in light of my testimony, and see if you can tell if my personal testimony lines up with the office of the apostle. I'm not standing up here today calling myself Apostle John Hamill. If indeed that's what I am, I will let the office speak for itself. I will let the office speak for me. Amen? But I'm asking you, based on what he said to me this morning at 6:45 as your pastor, I'm going to share what he said to me in Albuquerque. I'm not off track. I know exactly where I am. He's helping me just like he said he would. Amen? You read my testimony. Read it in conjunction with the office of the apostle. And then ask the Holy Spirit to show you anything he might want you to see as a member of this church. As a member of this church. Having said that, we're in Ezekiel chapter 3, are we not? In my hotel room in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I was working for big name rock and roll stars, movers and shakers in the music industry out of Hollywood, California and Las Vegas, Nevada. I was a brand new believer, as a baby Christian. I didn't know that job was wrong for me. And I was down doing a show with a big name entertainer they call him, the Midnight Idol, down in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You find it all in the testimony. I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, you need to read it again. The Cape is going to change. We've been doing some dirty digging the past year that we've been here. Everything looks all messed up and screwed up and mixed up and going nowhere. But I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, Satan's kingdom has been being undermined for the past year of preaching God's word out into the lines of this earth. Amen? Something's happening, and something more is going to be happening. And you're a part of it. And you're not going to understand all of it, but you can understand some of it if you'll go read that testimony again. Read the office of the apostle. Ask the Holy Spirit to tell you, why did you send John Hamill here? These are bold words, aren't they? Listen, I don't stand up here boasting of myself. I preach Christ and Him crucified. But when the Holy Spirit moves on me, certain times and certain seasons to say certain things, I'll say them. In my hotel room, I had a dream of people falling into the pit of hell in Albuquerque, New Mexico in 1983. I don't know how many people fell into that pit that day. But too many. Because of me. Because of me. You'll have to read the dream, the Albuquerque fire pit dream in my testimony. I woke up from that dream horrified before God. Before I could even begin to evaluate what I had just seen by the Spirit of God, I heard God speak these 48 words to me. This is what He said to me. You see there in Ezekiel 3 verse 18, I had never seen this before. I had never read this before. I had never heard this before, and the Spirit of God spoke these 48 English words to me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Did you see that? You see that? My brothers and sisters in Christ, I am telling you, I woke up from that dream of people falling into a pit of hell that opened because of my wrong behavior and my disobedience, and I heard God speak those 48 words to me by His voice, by what we would call His audible voice, and those 48 words changed my life forever. I did not know they were in the Bible. I had never heard them before. I had never read them before. I came across that verse of Scripture about 3 or 4 months later. Well, I believe it was Dr. Fred Price. I was watching them on television, and he used this verse as a text. And I thought, God, those are the words you spoke to me. The very words you spoke to me. God told me that He would hold me personally accountable for anybody He told me to warn that they were going to die or experience a tragedy if they didn't repent for their wickedness. I've gone to 13 individuals now in the past 24 years with the word of the Lord telling them that they were either going to die, and He even gave me the time frame, has He not? Or they were going to experience a tragedy if they didn't repent. One man, He told me, of all these 13 people, He told me to tell 12 of them. One of them, He did not release me to tell that person. If He had, I would have. If you were laying in that bed beside me in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and if you heard what I heard and the way I heard it, it sounded like the voice of 1,000 waterfalls. There's no way to describe God's voice. It doesn't sound like our voice. If you had heard what I heard, you would go to anybody God tells you to go to, and you will say anything God tells you to say, and you will do anything God tells you to do. That's how I'm going to be judged. I'm going to spend eternity based upon how effectively I obey that command. Somebody asked me here in this room recently, what do you think your ministry is? And my ministry is many different things. But this in Ezekiel 3:18 is my divine mandate. It's why I was born. Of those 13 people, 12 of which He told me to go to tell them that they were going to either die or experience a tragedy if they didn't repent. One of them, He told me to tell them, you'll be dead within 6 weeks. They wouldn't listen. One day short of 6 weeks, that individual died. Another, He said to me, within 2 months, they'll be dead. One day short of 2 months, that individual's father murdered him. Another one, Barbara stood with me. And I said, if you do a certain thing, the Lord said you will be dead within 1 year's time. She wouldn't listen. She went off and she did what the Lord told her not to do. She died 6 months later. This isn't an easy ministry. This isn't a fun thing. I want to be a sweet teacher. I want to talk about rat-free living. I want to have fun in church. I mean, not at the expense of God's Word. I want to bless people. But if that's part of God's plan to bless people, well, I don't have much of a choice, do I? These people that I speak to you of this morning matter to God. Who else, Barbara? Another one. If I told you her name, you'd know who she was. If I told you her name, you would know who she was. You would think, whoa, I should have had a V8. The Lord said to me, she'll be dead in 5 years now because of us and such. 5 years later, she died a tragic death. Someone else. Another one, the Lord said to me, a family member. You tell her she'll be dead in 18 months if she doesn't repent. I told her. She repented. God turned her life around. I'm telling you, you can't just go do these things in the flesh. Amen? I said, Lord, this morning when he said to me at 6:45, you tell them what I told you in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You tell them you're going to be saying things and doing things they are not going to understand. They can't understand. They've not been trained for your offices. They've not been called or anointed for your offices. They've not been purged for your offices. Here's something else he said to me. Right after he said that to me, I went out in the other room. Now I'm all for. I was trying to focus on what I was going to teach this morning, and then I heard him speak to me, and I'm all focused on that now. God, you ruined my plans. No, I'm just teasing. Amen? The Holy Spirit doesn't change the subject. This is his subject for today. Amen? Amen? He said to me, tell them not to criticize you when you don't understand what you hear me say and what you see me do. Go to him. Pray. Be quick to hear. Slow to speak. If you want to come to me in private and ask me about something I said or something I did, I'll give you the scriptural basis. Amen? I know my job. I'm not perfect. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. But I know my job. I know my jurisdiction. I know where I can operate effectively and where I can't operate effectively. I'm not the answer to Cape Cod's problems. I'm not the answer to your problems. Jesus is the answer to the Cape's problems. Jesus is the answer to your problems. But for some reason, probably his mercy is all I can come up with. He called me to stand in the offices that I stand in. Because I'm foolish, I'm weak, I'm base, and I'm despised, and I can't glory in his presence. My life before God was just a tragedy from the time I was a little boy. I was just a mental and an emotional wreck. One day my daddy called me aside and left me there. And that was it. No relationship with him. Every hand reached out toward me for my daddy was the vial in hand. I thought hands were for hitting. I didn't know they were for loving. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you. I'm not standing up here saying I'm special. I said, Father, you're going to have to help me. Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me. I don't want those folks to understand. They're not doing anything wrong. I don't want them to think I'm railing on them. What did he say to me? Nothing. He had already told me what to do. So I just come down here by faith, trusting in his love. Amen? God told me to tell somebody right here on Cape Cod. A former member of this congregation, God told the individual to do something here. They made a commitment, and then they broke the commitment, and they lied about the commitment. And when I confronted them about the commitment, they turned around and told people, started telling people that I placed a curse on them and their marriage because they wouldn't obey me. That's not what I did. God told me to tell that individual that they were going to die prematurely if they didn't repent. For their lack of faithfulness, their inability to keep their word, and their disobedience, I told them. Brothers and sisters, I got the track record. The Bible says when a prophet says, thus saith the Lord, and it doesn't come to pass, don't fear him. But I'm telling you, out of the 13, so far half a dozen of them are dead. The Lord said to tell you, you're going to see me doing some things you aren't going to understand. You're going to hear me saying some things you aren't going to understand. And when you don't, if you have questions, come to me privately. Amen? Now, people have been making a mistake here in past months. And I give the benefit of the doubt because most people don't know that a public rebuke is reserved only for hypocrites. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and Galatians chapter 2. They've come to me and questioned my morality, questioned the scriptural basis for things that they heard me say or that they've seen me do, because they didn't know what the Bible said. And I was able to share scripture and straighten the situation out, and the individual's, okay, that's fine. I see now what I didn't see before. But it's humiliating to have to stand in front of other people and be questioned by some. So if you have any, that's reserved for hypocrites. It's intended to be humiliating. It's intended to cause shame, to bring a hypocrite to repentance. You read that in Galatians chapter 2. You'll see that Paul rebuked Peter publicly for his hypocrisy. And then Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, people, hypocrites and heretics who continue to repeat the same sin, rebuke them in front of everybody. Amen? I guess I'm saying, when these things occur, whatever they are, I don't know what they are. But I know God, and I know these offices, and I know that they're probably going to be whoppers to help people. God will go to every extent to save a human life. He will. Amen? When you see it happen, if you have a question, ask me. It's okay. But do it in private. Please don't do it in front of other people. Amen? There's other people who should have been here today who need to hear this, but we're recording it. Amen? And you're not getting rebuked. You're lovely people. If it weren't for you, I'd have flown the coop by now. Amen? God gave you to us to hold us here. Amen? And God gave us to you to hold you here. Amen? So I told you what he told me to tell you. Now go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Amen? Hallelujah. I want you to know as you go over there to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Hallelujah. And we're doing all right for time. Amen? The Holy Spirit never interrupts himself. It's always plan A. Amen? You getting anything out of this? You're going to read the office of the apostle. You're going to go read my testimony again, aren't you? If you can get to it this week, the sooner the better. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, the Lord's going to have even more to say this morning as we get into this message. It all fits in. You know, if you step into an office, you may have heard me say this before. Somebody this week complained to me about something that I said and something that I did because they didn't understand. I was completely within my jurisdiction, and it's nobody in this room, so don't you be concerned about that. And I had to take the time to explain to them, and I wouldn't have had to take the time to explain to them if they were in church like they should be in church. You know, it's always the people who show up in church half the time, and half the time they show up, they're late. They're always the ones who come and they have the word of correction. They're always the ones who want to dress the pastor down, straighten the pastor out, the ones who can't keep their own commitments. It makes you wonder, why can't they see what in the world they're doing? The faithless correcting the faithful. Do you know, some of you do, you heard me say this before. Nobody in this room is in trouble. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Okay, amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Nobody in here has done anything wrong that you're getting rebuked for. I'm just kind of going with the Spirit of God here this morning. Amen? If you step into an office you're not called to, you can die. That's the penalty. Premature death. If Stephen Russell, and please, don't anyone say in your heart, oh, Pastor, will you just let it drop? No! I will follow the Spirit of God. And if Stephen Russell gets this CD, which I hope he does, and if God tells me to send it to him, I will. If he tells me to call him and talk to him again, I will. If he tells me to write to him again, I will. Because this is how I'm going to spend my eternity, based upon how effectively I obeyed Ezekiel 3:18, which the Spirit of God Almighty Himself came into my hotel room in Albuquerque, New Mexico, stood beside me and spoke those words to me. His blood will be on my hands. You can die for assuming an office you're not called to. King Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, the Philistines attacked Israel. Samuel was late in arriving to offer the peace offering before the Lord. He said he'd be back in 7 days. On the seventh day, he still wasn't there. King Saul got into fear, got into carnality, got into fear of the future, and he offered the peace offering himself. And in doing so, he stepped into two offices he wasn't called to. There were only three offices in the Old Testament: the king, the priest, and the prophet. In the New Testament, we have the apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and teacher. He was called only to the office of the king. He stepped into the office of the priest. He stepped into the office of the prophet, and he offered a peace offering for God to back him up when they went into battle. He shouldn't have done that. He didn't have the authority. That wasn't his jurisdiction. He had no responsibility in those offices. Therefore, he had no authority in those offices. I'm talking by the Spirit of God today. Amen? You've been praying for God to clean things up around here. Amen? He stepped into the office in 1 Samuel chapter 13 of the priest and the prophet. He no sooner did it, here came Samuel, just like he said, I'll be there on day 7. Samuel saw the offering burning. You know what he said to him? What have you done? He said, well, you know, he started making, it was every, always with King Saul, it was always everybody else's fault. There was a need that needed to be met, and I was there, so I met it. The people put pressure on me. The Philistines were bearing down. My soldiers were running in every... It's everybody else's fault, always with Saul. Samuel said to him, this day, the Lord has taken your kingdom from you. Now, he lived for approximately 2 years. But the Spirit of God was taken from him. His kingdom was taken from him. His sons, Abinadab, Melchishua, precious Jonathan, and King Saul were all butchered on the same day by the Philistines as a result of King Saul stepping into an office he wasn't called to. It cost him his life. It cost him his anointing. It cost him his kingdom. It cost him his family. Because he was stubborn. And he couldn't stay in the office that he was called to. He stepped into an office he's not called to. Many pastors are doing this today. We live in the dispensation of grace. It takes longer for the same penalty to come down on an individual who steps into an office they're not called to. Pray God Stephen Russell gets this CD. He's a human being. Please, no one listening to me by recording, don't call me. Don't send me evil CDs, damning CDs. I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm doing. I'm speaking by the Spirit of God. We are about to see pastors, some even begin to die in the pulpit while they're preaching because God's been telling them in His great grace, year after year after year after year, get out of my way! Let go of my people! Let my people go! But because of pride, because of arrogance, because of disobedience, rebellion, fear of the future, financial needs, they're refusing to get out of those offices God hasn't called them to. Pastor John, you are bringing down the big hammer today, aren't you? I'm bringing out the heavy artillery. Amen? Don't be surprised if someone dies in a pulpit, in an accident, in a trial. I'm not decreeing this over anybody. I have been doing everything the Lord's told me to do concerning Brother Stephen Russell. Listen, I didn't come here planning on mentioning names here today. I do whatever God tells me to do. I know my offices. I know when the Holy Ghost is moving on me. It's biblical to name names when God tells you to name names. Well, why don't you go to Pastor Russell? I have! He doesn't listen. Don't be surprised. I'm not angry. I'm very firm. That be a good word for my preaching today? Amen. I'm determined that the man will still live. And others like him. You people came out of his church. God's talking to you again this morning about that situation. We need to know, should tragedy occur, God's not guilty. Never say, oh God, why? You have your answer. You have your answer. When people, as I began to say a few moments ago, and I kind of get off on a bit of a rabbit trail, it takes longer in the New Testament for these things to happen, like they happened to King Saul in another king in the Bible who assumed an office and burnt an offering. He lost his life over it as well. It takes longer in the dispensation of grace in which we live. But the penalty is the same. Amen? Pray. Pray. When we first came here, there was a big move. People coming to me about this man. I never would have involved myself. People came to me. Many, many individuals came to me wanting to know what to do. I showed them from the Scripture. Confront them. Confront them. Some were willing, some weren't. Some did, some didn't. There are those of you in this room, you were told to confront him, and you did. Amen? Hallelujah. What's the coming down the pike? I don't know, but I'm talking to you by the Spirit of grace today. I'm supposed to tell you there is a penalty for assuming an office you're not called to, and it's called premature death. And you open the door up wide in your own life, and in the lives of your loved ones. Saul lost his boys over it. Saul lost everything. Amen? I'm going to tell you something else. When Saul got, you can find this in 1 Samuel chapter 28. Saul became so disobedient. He became so hardened. He became so stubborn. He became so rebellious that God wouldn't talk to him anymore. That's what the Bible says. You can read this in 1 Samuel 13, 1 Samuel 15, and 1 Samuel chapter 28. God stopped talking to him. God wanted nothing to do with him anymore. He was using God for profit. God stopped talking to him. The end result was, he had to go into battle one day just before his kingdom was taken from him. God wasn't talking to him. The prophet Samuel had already passed away. What did Saul do? He consulted the witch of Endor. He turned to the occult. And he asked her to bring up a familiar spirit that would communicate to him from the dead what he was to do in the next day's battle. He consulted a witch. There are pastors on Cape Cod. There's pastors in Massachusetts and American nations of the world who are in offices they've not been called to. But we're talking about Cape Cod right now. Your world of influence. The environment in which you live. Because you're going to be seeing some things. There's pastors who not only are standing in offices they're not called to like Saul, but they're consulting occult powers just like Saul. The message that we had on Wednesday night, why Paul gloried in the cross. And I went into detail about how Rick Warren, the purpose-driven life and the purpose-driven church, are misleading people now and taking them into the occult. Pastors here on Cape Cod doing the exact, the two of Saul's deadliest sins, standing in offices they're not called to and exposing their people and themselves to occult powers. Rick Warren is opening people up to the transformation movement, which is Unitarianism, into spirituality, contemplative spirituality, the emerging church, most of these organizations are using the writings of Thomas Merton. They're even giving them to their youth groups. He's an occult practitioner. This is kind of just a heads up today, amen? Whew, everybody just take a breath and just relax those back muscles and quit tensing your toes up. Just praise be to God. Nobody in here is in trouble. Nobody in here is in trouble. Nobody in here is in trouble. Do you hear that? God doesn't want you to get in trouble. Amen? Some of you are soon to find out that individuals you trusted in and thought were your friends are not your friends at all. And God's calling you to cut off those relationships. You'll know. You'll know. Amen? We said during the offering, the cape's a rat's nest. Amen? Maurice said it's time to kill the rats and destroy the nest. Amen? Pray. It's time to get serious about praying for God to grant godly sorrow to come into the hearts of these false pastors who are standing in offices they're not called to, and they've opened themselves up to premature death, and many of them are involving themselves in occult writings. Hallelujah. The glory of God on Cape Cod has opened themselves up to the occult. Check out their website. Follow the link to Rhonda Huey. Follow that link to the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. I am so sorry to tell you today, the International House of Prayer has opened themselves up wide to the occult. Bible.com on the internet opened themselves up to the occult through the transformation movement. Opened themselves up to Unitarianism, doesn't believe in the blood of Jesus. The Assemblies of God Theological Seminary in the United States of America has turned to the occult. You hearing me? Inter-Christian, Inter-Varsity Christian Fellowship opened themselves up to the occult. What's the name of Bill Bright's ministry? Campus Crusade for Christ opened themselves up to occult teachings. Right on their website. You go read it. YWAM, Youth with a Mission. Down the tubes they went. Open wide to occult teachings. Given those children the writings of Thomas Merton, occultists. It's a fad. It's a craze in Christianity right now. To combine occult practices and prayer with Christianity. Here on the Cape. It's happened over there at New Life Christian Center. Any involvement with the purpose-driven life and the purpose-driven church is involvement with the occult. It's all about mega churches. Rick Warren goes around and teaches rabbis how to grow a mega synagogue and never mentions the name of Jesus. It'll offend them. Hallelujah. Saul died. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Saul died because of his self-sufficiency, his justification of himself. Amen. His carnal conduct, his disobedience, his assuming an office he wasn't called to. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're there in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. So Saul dies. King David takes over. Hallelujah. Boy, it seems like I've been preaching up here for an hour and a half. What's it feel like to you? Helen says 2 hours. Well, praise the Lord, we get a lifetime of instruction and correction and reproof and rebuke in under 2 hours. It really hasn't been 2 hours. Amen. This is heavy stuff. But you know, what am I supposed to do? Say, Father, that's too heavy. These people come, they take a shower, they take out their nice clothes, they come looking so sweet, and they're so sweet to us, they're kind, they're generous, they just take care of us. Well, I can't tell them that. You know what it'd say to me? Then you take care of them! Tell them the truth! I told you, if I tell you to warn people that tragedy's coming and you don't listen to me, their blood will be on your hands. This is hard. This is weighty. Amen. But you know what? The gospel's not supposed to be all sunshine and balloons. Amen. So now you know. We'll touch on it more in the future. But God's trying to protect His family. He loves you. I love you. Amen? Hallelujah. This is heavy stuff. You need to know. People are going to die. People are going to die if they don't repent. Now, I'm not telling you the Lord told me that Stephen Russell is going to die. But I'm not telling you that he's not either. I'm just telling you what happens in the Bible when you are stubborn, rebellious, selfish, greedy, hireling, who steps into an office you're not called to. You're out of the will of God. You're a step behind God. It's the most dangerous place in the world to be. And everybody who submits to a pastor who's out of the will of God is out of the will of God themselves. So I'm calling names today. I'm asking you to pray for Stephen Russell in particular. Amen? I'm asking you. I'm pleading with you, beseeching you. Take it up as a matter of prayer. Take it up as a matter of prayer. And you pray godly soul to work in his heart to bring him to repentance that he'd give it up. Before a tragedy occurs, that doesn't have to occur. Now, he's not the only one. But the Lord has told me to deal with him this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so praise be to God. We'll go through this quickly. Here, King Saul is dead, unfortunately, for all the reasons I described to you. He didn't just die accidentally. It all happened on purpose, and it was all his fault, and it still happens today. Suddenly, all the mighty men of Israel begin to pour out of the woodwork to join themselves with David, who's hiding out over there in Hebron. Amen? Pick up the narrative here with me in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. You'll like this. Amen? Oh, glory. Everybody say, oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For at that time, in verse 22, at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him until it was a great host like the host of God. And these are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to the war, who came to David at Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord. The children of Judah that bear shield and spear were 6,800 ready armed for the war. The children of Simeon, mighty men of valor for the war, 7,100 of them. So they're coming out the woodwork. They're leaving Saul. They were faithful to his office. He's dead. Now they're going over to the new leader. Of the children of Levi, 4,600. And Jehoiada was the leader of the Aaronites. With him, 3,700. And Zadok, a young man, mighty of valor, and of his father's house, 22 captains. Here comes thousands of warriors with their leaders, but with Zadok, 22. A church doesn't have to be big to be powerful. But we'll get big. And of the children of Benjamin, the kindred of Saul, 3,000. For hitherto the greatest part of them had kept the ward of the house of Saul. This is Saul's cousins, worked in his house. Coming over to David. The children of Ephraim, 20,800. Mighty men of valor, famous throughout the house of their fathers. Stephen Russell sent the Santangelos in here. And of the tribe, the half-tribe of Manasseh. Hey, did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? God's dealing with it now. God's dealing with it now. Stephen Russell sent the Santangelos in here. And there were two other people who were in on it, and they were in this room that day. And I'm speaking to you by the Spirit of grace. This is the day of the Lord here, people. I don't normally stand up and do things like this. Hallelujah! God is trying to spare human lives. This is not a put down, this is a pull up. And let us pray that that man will listen. Amen? Had he not done such a thing, the Spirit of God would not have me doing this today. They've had plenty of time to make this right. You don't go to the police department and make false accusations against God's pastor, God's prophet. You don't do it. And then just leave it on the back burner and refuse to repent while for 7-8 months the Holy Spirit of God has been working in you, telling you, make it right, make it right, make it right, make it right. And all you keep doing is make it worse. More lies and more lies, more lies upon lies to cover up what you did. The day of judgment will come. God promises to vindicate us when people come against us. I'm telling you, this is like an alert in the spirit realm today. Red lights flashing, red lights flashing. No disrespect intended. I'm trying to read to the, from the Bible to you here. And the Holy Spirit of God is telling me to say to you, those people were sent in there by that man, and they didn't come alone. And you need to know it. Amen? Hallelujah. The children of Ephraim, 20,800 mighty men of valor, famous throughout the house of their fathers, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, which were expressed by name, to come and make David king. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. Do you have understanding of the times that you live in? To know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at that commandment. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could look right there. Now, if you'd circle that word, keep rank, that word rank. That's the word we're going to look at, just quickly. They were not of double heart. They came out to make David king. They were not of double heart, and they would not break rank, if you'd circle that word. Amen? Jump down to verse 38. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, thank you for helping me. Thank you, Father God, for giving these precious people understanding of the times in which we live. Verse 38, all these men of war that could keep rank, circle that if you would, they came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all of Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. Now that word rank in verse 33, I'll just tell you very quickly, it means to arrange, to muster, to dig in, and to stay in place physically. To arrange, to muster, dig in, stay in place physically. In their bodies, they could just stay put when God told them stay put. Amen? And that word rank down there in verse 38, it's from a root word that means experts at mustering their mental dispositions. So what's being said here is all of these people, all of these leaders and soldiers that were being sent to make David king in Jehovah God were people who could muster themselves physically and emotionally and stay in place when the pressure was on. They could stay in place emotionally and not run when they were faced with hard things, and they could sit in a chair and just sit there and not run away when the pressure came from the enemy. Amen? They were physically and emotionally disciplined people. Now, why did I point that out to you? These are the same people that we read about during the offering this morning in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, the captains of the thousands. These are the captains, these are the thousands. The Bible says that they could keep rank. They could stay in place emotionally, and they could stay in place physically, when the pressure was on. These are the people that God put in position to invest nearly $5 billion into the building of the temple. These are the people who gave out of their own pockets over $3.1 billion to David for the building of the temple. Amen? When we stay in place, when it's easy and when it's hard, God will put us in position to do tremendous things for Him. Just like He did with these thousands. Amen? But if we won't submit to authority, God won't give us authority. That's the key to New Testament authority, is New Testament submission. Amen? Submitting to a pastor, going where God tells you to go, staying there when God tells you to stay there. We've had more people come through here, make commitments. I'm not complaining, I'm talking to you by the Spirit of God today. And I've had to bring a gentle word of correction to them. And they go running off, complaining to God, bawling and squalling. They couldn't keep rank emotionally. They couldn't keep rank physically. What would David do if these men came running over? He started giving them orders. And they started bawling and squalling. I don't want to be in the military anymore. That's what these people have done. God, I can't go to that church anymore. That pastor, he requires me to keep the word and keep my word to the letter. What do you think it sounds like to me when somebody comes and says, the Holy Ghost told me, I'm quoting somebody, I won't name their name, the Holy Ghost told me I'm with the gathering now. And then they turn around 2 weeks later and they're gone and they say, hey, God changed his mind. Malachi 2:6 says God doesn't change. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Oh, glory be to God. I gotta be me. I gotta be me. Do it or die. I just gotta try. I gotta be me. That's obnoxious. What do you think it's like to me, for me to have to deal with so many of these people who once filled these chairs, the majority of them who came and said to me, God told me this is my church. The first time they had to be corrected for something moral, something legal, something scriptural, out the door they go. Many of them without even opening it. Gone. They're going to be judged for that. The Bible says we're all going to stand before the Bema judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to spend eternity based on how effectively we obeyed Him while we were here. Demons don't obey rank breakers. Amen? Demons don't. These people open themselves up to tragedies. Amen? You know, some things just need to be said. I've never seen such a rat's nest spiritually as I have on Cape Cod. I really never have. But at the same time, I've never seen such wonderful people like you folks who just keep coming right on around here, no matter how obnoxious I can be when I demonstrate myself and others during preaching. Amen? I'm telling you what, some things need to be said. So we're saying them. Amen? Pastor, we want to go home. I know you're going to be able to go here shortly, amen? But we need to understand, we can't command until we can first learn to be commanded, amen? So this is commendation time from this point forward for you folks, because you do submit to authority, amen? You do. You do. You do submit to New Testament authority so that you have New Testament authority, amen? Listen, when Joshua couldn't be a leader until he first learned to follow Moses. I'm telling you people, I have had people here, I've never seen anything like it in all my life. People, one person called and told me, don't preach on divine healing. The Holy Spirit told me to tell you, don't preach on divine healing. The Holy Spirit didn't speak against His word. Others came and told me, the Holy Spirit said, stop teaching on tithing. Another couple told me, stop teaching on moral issues. What else have they told me? What else? You reminded me of something this morning. Somebody came and said, don't teach it. Oh, Lord, don't teach on faithfulness. My loved one wants to come to church, and they're always late. And if you say something about it, they won't come back. So I don't want them to come back. They're disturbing everybody. Amen? I won't faint. Unbelievable. I have had more people here on Cape. I've never experienced it in my whole life. People calling me and telling me God told me to stop preaching on certain subjects. A couple of people came and told me God said shut the church down. It's not His will for me to have a church. It's His will for me to have a Bible school. And when you're over there at the Bible school, don't say nothing about tithing. You'll run. I could go through the list. It's endless. Amen. God bless you, precious people. You precious, faithful people. Amen. Ephesians 4:11 says He gave some apostles and prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. Listen to this. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body. It doesn't say God gave the saints for the perfecting of the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, does it? Some people literally read their Bible upside down. I don't know how they do it. Amen. Go over there, if you would, real quick to Matthew chapter 8. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What did I ask you to? Matthew chapter 8? And put your finger in Acts chapter 5. We'll close with these two. Amen? Hallelujah. If we lay down our prideful lives, we'll pick up our authoritative lives. Amen? You folks don't have these problems we're talking about here today, but the Holy Spirit's put it on my heart to say the things that I did. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 8, real quick. Hallelujah. In verse 5, Jesus was entered into Capernaum. Now, listen, if you got your mind blown here a little bit, just go to the Lord. Amen. About something that you heard here today, you go to the Lord. Amen. My goodness, the Lord said to me this morning at 6:45, you're going to be saying and doing some things that they're not going to understand. I didn't know it was going to start in this service. I truly didn't. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Look at what he said. He said, I am a man what? I'm a man what? I am a man. He didn't say I'm a man with authority. He said, I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, I've not seen so great faith, no, not in Israel. To put it in a nutshell, you've heard me teach on this before. I'm going to give it to you again really quick. He said, Lord, you don't have to come all the way out to my house. He said, I'm a man under authority. I tell my servants to do something and they do it. What he was saying is this. I know how authority works. I'm under Caesar's authority. My men are under me. I tell my men what to do and they do it immediately because they know they're not obeying me. They're obeying Caesar who's over me. They also know if they don't obey me, retribution won't come from me. It will come from Caesar. Therefore, they do exactly what I tell them to do when I tell them to do it because they know I'm under Caesar's authority. So Jesus, I figure authority works in the spirit realm the same way. You are submitted to God. You can just tell the devil out there at my house, get off my servant, and he has to obey you, because really he's not obeying you, he's obeying God. And he knows if he doesn't obey you, Jesus' retribution won't come from you, it'll come from God. And Jesus said, woo! I've never seen anybody who understood how faith works like this Roman. That's only the second time in Scripture Jesus marveled. He marveled at that man's understanding of authority. The second time he marveled is over there in Mark chapter 6. He marveled at the unbelief of the Jews who wouldn't let him perform miracles. But he marveled at that man's understanding of how authority works. We don't have authority unless we get under authority. You're under authority. Your faith is working. Your faith is working. Some of you are going through things right now and you're thinking your faith isn't working. Your faith is working. Be patient. God will come through. Your faith is working. Amen. Where else did I ask you to go? Acts chapter 5. We'll close it out with this right here. Amen. How are we doing on time? We've got plenty of time to do this. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 5. Showing you some things. There are some things that are horribly out of order on Cape Cod spiritually. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, that all things, God requires all things to be done decently and in good order. Amen? And now God wants you to understand some things that are going to be happening just down the road ahead of you. Amen? The change you believe in God for is coming, but it's not going to be as comfortable and pretty as we'd all like for it to be. But you're going to be okay. Amen? I want you to know, you cannot interfere with a move of God anywhere in the earth that it says, is everybody okay? Everybody look up here and smile at me, would you please? How's everybody doing? Amen? Hallelujah. I know it seems like a lot, but you're getting what God wants you to have. We're going to close with this right here. You need to see this if you never saw it in the Bible before. You cannot mess with the move of God. God will not allow. People are thinking what happened in these services in the past 10 to 7 months happened because we're doing something wrong. It's not true. It happened because we're doing something right and God's going to vindicate us. What happened in here, what the Santangelos did in here and beyond, oh, Pastor, will you let it die? No. I will follow the Spirit of grace so that when things start cracking, you'll understand what's happening and why. Amen? I will not let it go. You need to understand there's another side to what they did. It's called judgment. And God's going to vindicate you, Pastor. And God's going to vindicate you being here. And it might not be pretty. He's going to have to let some things happen if they let these things happen. Look right here. You can't interfere with the move of God. It seems like they're getting away with something, but they're not. Are you there in Acts chapter 5? Let me just tell you, I'm not mad. I love the Santangelos. I love all people. I refuse to harbor ill will in my heart towards anybody for any reason. Amen? A certain man named Ananias, verse 1, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. They kept back part of the price. Ananias did, and his wife Sapphira, also being privy to it, they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. They sold the house, say, for $100,000, and they brought $50,000 to church, say, and they said, that's everything. We sold our house. We're giving the whole thing to the church. They lied to God. They interfered with the move of the Spirit. I want to tell you quickly why they did it. They didn't know if the move was of God or not. If it was, they wanted to be at the forefront of it. If it wasn't, they didn't want to make too much of an investment into it. Okay? That's what's going on here. Amen? Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to who? Listen, what the Santangelos did in here, they did to the Holy Ghost. What Stephen Russell sent them in here to do, they did to the Holy Ghost. And to keep back part of the price of the land. This is a move of God you're sitting in the midst of. While it remained, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it in your own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto who? So they've lied to the Holy Spirit, now they've lied to God. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. What happened to Ananias? He died. For interfering with a move of God through a deceptive work of the devil. Okay, and the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, dragged the stiff out of there and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours later, his wife, not knowing what had happened to him, she came in. And Peter answered unto her, he said, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Yeah, 100,000. I mean, 50,000, you know, whatever my husband said, that's what we sold it for. Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the spirit of who? That's Jesus. Now, Peter just said, you did what you did to the Holy Ghost. You did what you did to God. You did what you did to Jesus. What you did to the Trinity, not me, Peter said. Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. The young men came in, found her dead, carried her out, buried her by her husband. And great fear, awesome respect and repentance came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard those things. And following that, by the hands of the apostles, were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Father, in the name of Jesus, I did as you instructed me to do today. It wasn't easy, but it wasn't all that hard either. Father, I praise you in Jesus' name. I recommit to the offices that you've called me to today, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I recommit, Father. I will not run in Jesus' name. I will not become angry with you, Father. I'll not question you or your word, Father. I will stay in place. I will not break rank emotionally, Father. I will not break rank physically, Father. Barbara is committed to me and to you, Father, through me. And to me, through you, God. We'll stay here together until you tell us to do something else, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to have mercy on these precious people in this room, God, who sat through this word today, Father. Give them understanding, Father. Give them enlightenment, Father. Give them discernment, Father, and help them, God, to remember what they heard here today when things begin to change in the spirit realm and they start showing up in the natural and in the physical. Help them, God, to know how to pray. Give them discernment in prayer so they'll know how to pray for these people, God, who are facing tragedies. People who are facing judgment, God, for having done what they did to the Holy Spirit. Having done what they did to you, Father. Having done what they did to Jesus, God, not just to me and not just to us, Father. Oh God, have mercy on these people. Oh God, have mercy. We beseech you, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, have mercy, God, on these people who came against your spirit, Father, who tried to run you off of Cape Cod, Father, who told these lies and did these despicable things to you, God. To you, Father. God, give us compassion so that we'll press in more to pray for these people, Father, because the hour of their judgment is at hand. You said that judgment begins in the house of God, Father. God, something's up. Something's up. Something's up in the spirit realm, Father. Something's up, God. Something's coming. Pending judgment, Father. Oh, God, please, we beseech you, God. Have them examine themselves again, for you said in your word in 1 Corinthians 11:31-32, if we would only judge ourselves, we'd not have to be judged, God. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, help these people to understand. Even as you said to me 5-6 months back, you said, get to Stephen Russell quickly. Get to Stephen Russell quickly. Father, judgment is at hand. God, 6 months? That's nothing in your economy, God. Nothing in your timetable, God. Oh, Father God, things are going to change here on the Cape through the preaching and the prayer that's gone forth, not just in this church, God. Others are praying. Others are praying. Others are believing, God. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, the law of sin and death, they've turned it against themselves, God, and they can't live in that hiding place forever. They can't hide out in that carnal bucket rat's nest anymore, Father, any longer, God. Oh, God, have mercy. God, have mercy. God, have mercy. God, have mercy. We cry out to you to have mercy, Father. Oh, God. Oh God, bre se ege pero daso came barosa tega, obrotose ke baradea setega beredeste. Send laborers to them, God. Oh God, oh God. Even as they went to Pennsylvania, and someone they didn't even know told them what they were doing on the Cape, and told them to repent, for judgment is at hand. Oh God, God, you are a God of justice. You are a God of mercy. You are a God of love. You're not a God of wrath. Lord, this isn't about you bringing the hammer down on these people, Father. This is about you bringing them to repentance, Lord. You won't force them, but you'll call them. Father, they've opened themselves up to judgment. And if it has to come, it won't come at your hand. It'll come at their own hand, Father. Oh, God. Father, I don't claim to understand everything that happened in this service today. But I have enough discernment to know that judgment is at the door for some of these people, God. Please lift your hands and praise Him. Soke pere dekidea, avre deshte gibarusha tega baradasa tevre, kambarada sage beregesha de kibaradosa, kambare de segi peru da saga baradosa tevre, parando segi peru da saka baradasa, kambare.